Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. So glad that you could join us online to worship with Joy Lutheran Church. On behalf of myself, Pastor Rod Hank, and Pastor Ryan Jerome, it's our great pleasure to worship with you today, and let's make this a good one, okay? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. There are a few announcements as we begin our time together on this second Sunday after the Epiphany. First of all, we're coming up on our annual meeting at the end of the month. You need to pre-register for the annual meeting, and we encourage all members of Joy to please do that, all voting members. To register, you can either go online, and there's a scrolling banner at the top. It says congregational meeting. You click on that banner and it takes you to a page. And on that page, you can see a little icon that says register here. You can do it that way, or you can follow the link directly from the e-news. So there are two ways to register. We sure hope that you'll join us as we make decisions for our ministry in this next year. The second announcement today is that we are having a sock drive for the Winter Shelter Network, and this can be any kinds of socks, children or women or men. There's going to be a bin that's placed on the bench outside of the front doors of our church, and you can just bring those socks and drop them off, and we'll make sure that they get to the right place. But there's a great need for socks for the Winter Shelter Network right now. Secondly, or third announcement, also second ministry opportunity, Joshua Station, they are looking for folks to provide a community dinner. Even though we can't go like we usually do and serve the food and prepare it with the families and spend time talking to them, they still need food provided. So you can contact either Caitlin Nelson. Please look in the e-news. All the information that you need is in there. That concludes our announcements for today. We're going to continue our worship on this day the way that we always do, by passing the peace with the people around us. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace in person, through texting, however it is that you want to share the peace with the people around you. We continue our worship with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the water, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, whose goodness cascades over all of creation. Amen. Let us take a moment for silent personal reflection and confessing our sins to God. So let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. A moment of silence. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all of our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins, and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources, and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and the promise of Jesus the Christ, our sins have been washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved children. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the blessed community living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen. Let us join together and sing our opening hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you. With the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the reading of the lessons.
At a time when visions are rare and unexpected, the Lord comes to Samuel and calls him to speak the divine word. Though just a boy, Samuel responds to God obediently, as Eli the priest has taught him to respond. This marks the beginning of Samuel's prophetic ministry. First reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose sight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The responsive psalm is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18. Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You encompass me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. My days were fashioned before they came to be. How deep I find your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. Paul helps the Corinthians understand that God has claimed the entirety of their lives through the death of Christ. Hence, Christian relationships and conduct, including areas of human sexuality, are to reflect the reality that we belong to Christ and that the Holy Spirit lives within us. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The end of the readings for January 17th.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and there he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Hey, friends, Pastor Ryan here. Just want to check in with you guys today. And I want you guys to know that we miss you. We love you. And we hope that you're doing really well in this time of change and transition. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you, that your church loves you, and that you are never alone. No matter what happens in life, you are never alone. So in thinking about this, I've asked our friend, Lindsay, to put together a song for us. And it's going to sound familiar, but it's a little bit different. We've changed the words to be more specific and to really emphasize the kind of love that God has for all of us. So before she sings, I want to invite you all to put your hands on your heart and take a nice, big, deep breath. And as we listen to Lindsay bless us with this beautiful song, let us always remember that, yes, Jesus loves us.
Jesus loves you, this we know, for he lives to show us so. He loves all the old and young, big and small and everyone. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells us so. Jesus loves you, this we know, as he loved so long ago. When you're happy, sad, or scared, you are always in his care. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells us so.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for helping us with that song and reminding us so much of how Jesus loves us. And that even in times like this where we can't always be together in the ways that we want, God is always with us, and God loves us so much, and nothing will ever, ever change that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to lead us in a closing prayer today?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
Let's pray together, friends. Dear God, thank you for making us part of the greatest love story ever told. We thank you for the love that we are able to share with others. And we know that we are only able to do so because you love us so much. Thank you for helping us remember that even when we're scared and unsure about what might be ahead of us, that you are there waiting for us. And that no matter what, your love is bigger than all of our fears and doubts and anything we could be afraid of. We love you so, so much, and thank you for loving us first. In your holy name we pray. All God's children said, amen. All right, friends, have a good week.
Bye, guys.
Jesus loves you.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, the ancient legend of Archimedes tells us that while trying to solve the problem of how large could a boat actually be and still float, Archimedes decided to draw a bath. And upon entering that bath, he noticed the water levels rise. And so he got out of the bath and he noticed that the water levels receded. And he may have done this once or twice just to really make sure what he was seeing, but suddenly it all clicked. He had the answer for how to make really any size boat float. And before even putting on his clothes, he raced out into the streets naked and shouted, "Eureka! I have found it!" You almost get the sense from the gospel reading today that the earliest disciples are feeling this same sense of excitement. And they would have shouted out at the top of their lungs, "Eureka! We have found the Messiah!" Except for one small detail that we can't quite ignore. And that's that if we're being honest and really giving credit where credit is due, Archimedes did not find anything. And the disciples, they did not find the Messiah. Rather, what happened was they had a moment of revelation and understanding to something that was already there. You see, they didn't find the Messiah. Jesus was already there. They had a moment of realization. Which is why I would guess that we call this season in the church Epiphany and not Eureka. Because it's not about whether we have found Jesus, as if Jesus was missing or hiding somewhere. It's not as though God in Jesus has suddenly changed and we're discovering a new nature of God. Rather, this is a season marked by a shift, not in God, but in our own hearts and minds. One where we realize that God has been with us the whole time. We're just now noticing. It's a season where we acknowledge that sometimes we lack the awareness to see how God has been at work around us. And it's a season that invites us to renew our efforts to come and see, to pay attention. You know, it's no wonder that Nathanael was skeptical, because many in this time had claimed to be the Messiah or to have found the Messiah, but all had ended in disappointment. And what's even more laughable was to hear that the Messiah came from Nazareth. Wasn't the Messiah supposed to come from Bethlehem? Wasn't the Messiah supposed to come from a kingly lineage? And Nathanael seems to know that there ain't no kings coming out of Nazareth. So we'll have to forgive Nathanael for questioning the origins of Jesus of Nazareth, because he, like many in his time, shared an idea, an opinion of who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah would be like. And Jesus, at least from his initial reports, Nathanael says, it doesn't sound like this guy fits the bill. But you know, before we become too hard on Nathanael, we should probably remember that he isn't really all that different from us. Because we also have our ideas, our opinions of who God is, and we like to hold on to those notions. And we often will go out in search of the things that already confirm what we believe about God. In fact, it's not that uncommon, believe it or not, to come across the idea that many people prefer the New Testament over the Old Testament. And when asked about it, their response is usually something along the lines of, "I like the New Testament God in Jesus better than the Old Testament God." Does that sound a little wonky? I mean, Seriously, let's just take a second and give that kind of thinking all the consideration it deserves. But then let's move forward and realize that what is happening in Jesus is not a change in God. What is happening in Jesus is rather a fuller revelation of God, of who God has always been. So in reality, Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter because it's all the same God. It has always been the same God. It will always be the same God. But thanks be that God doesn't actually seem to care to be molded and shaped into our preconceived ideas of who God should be. If anything, a story like this reminds us that God is God. God is who God is. And way back, all the way in the book of Exodus, we remember those famous words, "I am who I am." Unchangeable. And the incarnation of Jesus in the flesh doesn't change any of that. It just makes it more real for you and for me. It helps us to see who God is and was and always will be. Elie Wiesel was a Holocaust survivor who shared his experiences in a concentration camp in his book called Night. And in this book, there's this underlying question that you can sense he's wrestling with as he tries to make sense of the horrors that he experienced. And that question never really fully gets expressed until towards the very end, which is, where is God? Where is God in this? And in this scene, towards the end of the book, he describes this horrific moment of the execution of three Jewish prisoners by hanging. Ignoring the pleas of the crowd, the execution moves forward, and it leaves all who witnessed it in a state of shock. And you can feel that everyone is thinking the same thing. Silence of that moment is broken when a man finally cries out and says what everyone has been thinking, what the whole point of this book has been drawing us to, and that is, for God's sake, where are you, God? Where is God? And Elie Wiesel says that at that precise moment, he heard a still small voice in his head, and it said, "Where is God? This is where. This is where. Hanging from those gallows, there is God." And it's a moment that as you read it and your heart breaks, you can't help but hear that it is like Christ on the cross. And at that moment, Elie Wiesel realizes the presence of God. That God is indeed with him and all those prisoners, even in the darkest moment of their lives. God has not left them. They just weren't sure where to look. God had not abandoned them. They just needed to have their eyes opened to see how God was with them. You see, it's not that we find Jesus, or that we have found Jesus, and that's why we're here at church, because we're the good people who have found Jesus. Jesus wasn't missing. Jesus isn't hiding. Rather, we are here because Jesus has found us. God has called out to us to help us see and recognize that we have never been alone, that God has always been with us. Even when it seems impossible, even when we don't know if we can believe it, even if we aren't looking, God has always been here with us. Because Jesus does not show us a new God. Jesus comes to us as God in the flesh and says, "Here I am. Do you see?" Jesus comes to us as God, for who God truly is and was and always will be, a God of love and compassion, a God who enters into the suffering and sin and brokenness and death of this world in order that all of it, the whole gosh darn thing, may be made whole again. Do you see how God has been with us? Which is why, my brothers and sisters, there's nothing for us to say except come and see. Come and see, to come and see for ourselves how God is indeed making this world new right now. There is no other way for us to invite others into this newness of life except to say, come and see. Come and see how lives are being changed. Come and see how God is at work. Come and see and experience and encounter God with us. Come and have an epiphany, a revelation. Have your eyes opened so that you can see how present God truly is. Come and see and encounter God revealed in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Come and taste and drink and see and experience for yourselves the love of God. Come and see. That is the call of the witness of the saints who have come before us, and it is the call and witness of the saints who are with us here today. Come and see. Come and see. For we will know even greater things than what the saints had already seen before us. That's the promise. We are promised that God will show up. Because, spoiler alert, we're promised that God's already there. We are promised that God will never tire of searching and seeking and finding us, because God will find us. Until all the world may know the depths that God has for us and for all. Jesus isn't lost. Jesus isn't hiding. God has not abandoned this place or anyone here. God is with you. God has found you in order that your life may be renewed and restored and changed. So come and see. Come and see the new life that God is creating here. Come and see and experience it for yourselves. For this is who God is. It is who God has always been. And it is who God will always be. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And our hearts in confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we stand before those witnesses who have come to us and made an invitation for us to come and see. Come and see who you are. Come and see and be surprised by your power and mercy and grace. Come and see how good God is. And so with those original disciples who were loved and invited by you, we do come and see today. Show us, reveal to us your love, your grace, and your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we know that you love all of your children. And today we come before you and we uphold a family of our congregation. We ask for your blessing on Steve and Denise Lance at the death of Denise's father, Howard. Help them to entrust him to your care. Help them to know and to understand and to sincerely believe in their hearts that you are the resurrection and the life, and that in you, death does not get the final word. You do. So we commend Howard to your care. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray today, Lord Jesus, for those who are sick or suffering, who need your healing touch in their lives. We ask that you be with Ben McCowan and Jessie, the daughter, granddaughter of Terry and Ann Bixler, both who are suffering from COVID right now. We ask that you surround them with people who will help their bodies heal, that'll help them be strong. Send now your Holy Spirit. We also have others that we hold in our hearts and our minds who need your comfort and strength and grace in this moment. And we silently raise their names to you. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord God, we know that you are the King of all creation, the one who is in charge of everything. We need your help right now. As a nation, as your people, we need your help for peace and strength and mercy and grace. And where people are sowing the seeds of hate, help us to stand in direct opposition to them and sow mercy, love, and peace. We ask for a good, solid transition of our government this coming week. Help everything to go well. Protect those who have given of their lives to serve you, to serve our nation, to serve your people. Uphold them all. We pray especially for President-elect Biden, who will take office this next week. Watch over him, the vice president, and all those in leadership roles. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with our offering. And Jesus has invited us to become his disciples, to come and see the wonders and the glories that he has to offer. So let's take a moment to offer that back up to God, to say thank you for the things that we have heard and seen. We continue now with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the river Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, you revealed his glory. So now, be with us as once again we see his light shine through this holy and blessed meal. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took his cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Another time, when his disciples asked, "Teach us to pray," our Lord Jesus told them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." I invite you all to please take your bread at home and understand that this is the body of Christ given for you. And now the cup of wine. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I'd invite you to receive the communion blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life that you have given to us, and we are strengthened for our journey. So we ask that you send us forth from this banquet, nourished in body and in spirit, so that we can proclaim your good news and serve others in your holy name and invite all people to come and see. Amen. And now receive the benediction. May God, the Creator, strengthen us. May Jesus, the Beloved, fill us. And may the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, keep us always in God's peace. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn.
Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine.
Let us go in peace to be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.